The meeting to order at 6:02. And I'll do a roll call. Chairman Brown.
Present.
Commissioner Murr.
Here.
Commissioner Carolyn.
Present.
Commissioner, is it Wild or
Wildy.
Wildy?
Here.
Okay. And Commissioner Bringle, not present. Commissioner Chaplunkar, not present. And Commissioner Gottlieb, not present.
We have a quorum, though. Summer's over. thank you, everyone, for showing up. Adam, we try to make sure we can get here. You know what I mean? And at least enough, hey, to have a quorum. Everyone gets busy. I think once we have enough, what's the number? How many people do we need for you? Yeah, four people. And then if we have that many other people can call in, there
If
are.
it's work related.
If it's work related, if they're out, just make it work related. Kidding, of course. Whoa, look at this. Appreciate it. So summer's over. We're getting more people here. So this is great. It's been a minute since we've met. Let's see. So I haven't forgotten how to hold a meeting, but do we have public comment? Did anyone email anything?
And just for the record, Commissioner Gottlieb got here at 6:03. We just started, so you're in good shape.
Yeah, it's perfect. Anyone have the number item number three? Anyone have the chance to read the minutes or have any questions or issues? In that case, can I get a motion to approve the minutes from June 3rd, 2026, as presented?
I second.
What? Someone motion? Did someone motion? I missed it.
Still
Motion.
second.
All in favor?
I
Great.
eventually I'll get there.
Oh, we're going right through. I might make this thing at Fenwick that I don't want to make it. Famous last words. Commercial corridors update. I didn't know exactly. I sent you an email. I don't know if you got it. So I didn't know exactly if some of the things that I wanted to talk about would sort of be captured underneath of the umbrella of these two, number four, number five. So,
Yes,
all right.
I thought that they did. So we were
Okay.
on the same
Cool.
wavelength. So, first of all, regarding Lake and Lathrop, our last hearing was July 9th. At that point, President Ducey, we did an update in the Village newsletter. There was also a press release at that point you might have seen online. She's been applying pressure to the judge to keep this moving in the best interest of the Village residents. We feel that the judge responded by applying pressure to the developer who had been having some concerns with his contractors and legal representation there. At this point, discovery is ongoing. The judge directed all parties to come back on September 15th for additional hearings. So, and did, in our opinion, use some direct language regarding how everyone should be moving forward. So that was appreciated by the village. So,
And Wintrust as well. I mean, they're a party to all that, right? I
yes,
mean,
they
they're
are.
kind of the one of the roadblocks.
After so it depends on which way it goes. So if the court finds that the owner is in I'm not even sure of the exact finding. So
Breach of contract, or I
yeah.
mean, there's two ways it could go, right? I
Thank
mean,
you.
either, well, I mean, right now, so there's a bunch of liens on that. I mean, this isn't really, but there's a bunch of liens on the property from all the contractors and everything that went sideways. You know, when something like this goes sideways, everyone's got a problem. So you got to clear all that up in order for Wintrust to have a clear title on the property in order to sell it. My understanding is the liens tied to it are worth more than that. You know, when you add it all up, it's not making financial sense for Wintrust. They couldn't sell it right now and take care of the loan and all the liens. So, I mean, my guess is, and if there's experts on it, by all means, my guess is that they'll try to get the play ball as long as they can, try to knock all those fees down as much as they can. And then Wintrust will probably take some loss on it, on a you know, depending on how their shares are doing this year, right at the end of the year, that's what banks seem to do. In the last quarter, they take a loss. Maybe they won't. I have no idea. That's total speculation. And at that point, they take a loss and then they put it up for sale, trying to recoup whatever they can.
Sorry, is this a foreclosure action? Is it a complaint to foreclose a mortgage and Wintrust is the plaintiff?
Wintrust, well, they own title to the property. I mean, yeah, so I mean it's, I don't know, is it a foreclosure or do they already have?
Yes, it's foreclosure.
All right,
Is
so
it completed? No,
that's what
I
they're
think
going
that's
through
what the
now.
hearings are.
Okay, so they probably don't own it. They probably have first lien position.
They have
I've
a
done,
first lien position,
I think that's
excuse
the
me.
complaint.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done a lot of foreclosures.
Have you?
Yeah, I
Yeah. All
represent
right.
banks, lenders, mortgage servicers, so.
All
I'm
right.
not familiar with this case, but that's what it sounds like. So they probably don't own it. The process would be anything subordinate to their lien would be foreclosed, or those folks would have the opportunity to bid them out, buy
Yeah.
out, and then come in first lien position. But what would happen is the court would hold a judgment of foreclosure, and then there'd be what's called a redemption period, where the owner of the land could try to buy it back, and then they'd hold a judicial sale. So it would go to auction, and whoever the highest bidder is would get the property. And if Wintrust is in first lien position, they'll bid what they're owed or they'll bid less.
On a size, I know that's how it works for some of the smaller deals, but it would be something on that big on this as well.
It's the exact same thing. It's
Yeah.
codified under the Code of Civil Procedure. Every single action is going to be the same. You have different nuances if it's residential or commercial, but
Yeah.
the process to the of filing a complaint to foreclose a mortgage is it's the standard. It's uniform across the board.
So there'll be that auction down at Cook County where they, yeah.
Cook County doesn't hold them anymore, but it'll
Okay.
be an auction through either the Judicial Sales Corp or Intercounty Judicial. That's the court's appointed selling officer.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is it a blind bid?
No.
It just goes up and up. Just they
The
keep
bid
on going.
starts with the fur whoever's in first lien position would
Yeah.
start, and their opening bid will be that. And it could be their total indebtedness, what they're owed, or it could be less than what they're owed. And then every junior lien holder has the right to put their bid in and then go to.
And so, and thank you. It's been a while since it's been a pretty good economy. I haven't had to deal with me. I work at a bank myself. We haven't had to deal with this in a while. So so let's say there's $3 million that's owed to the first lien holder in this case. They go ahead and they bid the 3 million. Maybe they do less, thinking, well, no one's going to pay more than 2.5, you know, whatever. But they bid where they think they need to. They
Well,
bid at 3 million. Okay, sorry.
yeah, if they bid, if they don't go what's called full debt bid, their
Yeah.
total indebtedness, and they go under what their bid is, then the next person in line would get over whatever the amount is. So in a typical foreclosure, like you think, like, I can't pay my mortgage, you're the bank, you foreclose against me. If I have equity in that property and that property sells for more than what the bank's owed, then it would go back,
To
the
the first one.
surplus goes to me. But if there are other lien holders
Me
in the,
being who?
me
The
being the homeowner who
okay,
would
yeah,
have the equity,
right.
but if there are other lien holders, second mortgage,
Right.
third mortgage, fourth mortgage,
In
then
this
it goes
case,
in,
mechanical liens.
yes, then it goes
Yeah.
in line of priority.
Yeah, so all those guys get paid. What happens if, so let's say that's, let's use that $3 million mark. Does anyone mind just having this?
No, I would just say if you could check, you need to speak into the microphone. So because we are recording this.
Sorry.
No, it's
No.
okay. And then
First.
make sure that there's a green light on.
Done.
Okay,
Yep.
perfect. Thank you.
So let's use that $3 million number again, right? So, and this is just out of the air. $3 million. Let's say Wintrust in this case, first lien holder says $3 million. No one else says anything. They're like, ah, nope, keep it. Too rich for my blood. So that whoever owns it at that point, those other lien holders, they're SOL. I think, yeah. Okay.
I mean, obviously they can go after
Owner.
the
The,
defendant, yeah, the
yeah.
owner of the property, and they can attempt to collect them in other means.
Right.
But generally, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they now have a free and clear ownership of the.
Well, if they're the highest bidder and
Yeah.
they're bidding the total indebtedness or a number that they're owed, they're not, putting any other money up, but they would get the property based on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The court would order, they call the court. The next step is after the auction, there's another hearing. It's called the order approving the sale, confirmation of the sale. And then the court would do that. And then it would go back to whoever was the highest bidder.
Yeah, it's good information. Well, so, I mean, I just whatever. It's just curious, wondering. So what would typically hold things up over and over again to get that to auction?
I don't know. Maybe priority. If there are other disputes, other causes of action, they can all be intertwined. And I haven't seen any of the pleadings or the complaint. I don't know what's going on, but I'm guessing that maybe there's some challenge to priority. Maybe there are other counterclaims that a lot of people have filed, other foreclosures. So I don't know. I haven't seen it though. How long has it been going on?
Yeah, a minute. Yeah. I mean, since before you got here.
Yeah. 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
But before I
this is the Lake and Lathrop situation that we have going on over here. This belongs before anyone here was on this board or anything. And it doesn't really fall under, it's your first meeting, probably should have done a little bit of introduction about what we do here. You know, basically, we just talk to new committee members and, you know, get all the information we can out of them, apparently. That's it. No, you know what we're here to do is, you know, try to drive some tax revenue. And a lot of times that can be through different ways, but a lot of times through spurring development and business, helping where we can. One of the things that we'd love to do, I think, as a village, I should say, I think it would be great, and I think other people have agreed over time, is to kind of build up some of this corridor here, right there on the lake. You know, certainly where Lake and Lathrop is, there's some retail businesses there. It'd be nice if we could have a walkable corridor here, and a lot of that would start with Lake and Lathrop. And it's just been caught in the courts forever, and it just seems to, you know, it's a anchor to some degree on a lot of things in the village. So very helpful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the next update that I have is on Madison. So the Madison development project has been voted upon by the village board on August 17th. At this point, we're expecting the developer to submit building permits, likely in November, December at that point. It typically takes about 90 to 120 days for them to come up with, at this point, we call like buildable plans, like the very detailed architectural plans that are needed for the project. So there we go on that one. Mm-hmm.
When can we expect it to be completed now that it's been approved?
Roughly, if the plans are submitted in November, and if they break ground in January, likely end of February, maybe early March, then they're talking about 18 months, 18 to 24 months to completion. So I think they were targeting February of 2029. That was in their project timeline. We'll know more as the progresses.
Start construction, digging in February, March. I mean,
that's what
they have machines now. You can work with some of that stuff in the heat, but I don't. They're going down pretty far.
Kind of. They're not break for just for the foundation.
Yeah. Well, they don't have any underground parking.
No, everything is surface parking.
Oh, mm-hmm. They'll probably do something. Hey there. Hey, no, you're good. We had a quorum.
Good to see you.
Yeah. 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 No.
Pleased to meet you.
We'll do, I didn't realize we're going to have everyone here almost. We'll do some introductions again, you know, who you are and stuff like that next time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Guess we can do it now.
So the next question you had was,
well, any questions on Madison Avenue? Let's see. So 2029, February, November, December, they're hoping to get permits. Remind me, are they bidding? Are they doing this? Do they have a construction arm, or are they bidding this out to people? Or?
One of the partners is the construction.
Ah, so it's his guys, and then he's got a GC. All right.
Mm-hmm. And they seem confident that there'd be no problem getting retail in on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What retail? I mean, they're
small.
They're open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's small enough that we put enough pressure that how important the retail, how that ground floor activity is.
Yeah.
We voice that.
Yeah, and I know for the guys like that, I mean, not guys like that, but that's usually a loss leader, that retail first base and all their kind of projections and such.
Yeah.
Yeah. And facing. More facing, you know, a little bit more square footage and some usable. You know, it would be nice if there's, it looked like there was retail there. I'm not sure what it's gonna look like. So that's
well, I'll tell you, I went for a walk after our last meeting with my son, Long Madison, and there are opportunities now for retail that are just empty. So I'm not sure where the confidence comes from. Maybe it's far enough east that it's more attractive. But
so you're talking about that like strip mall with like the puff
that's part of it, yeah.
Yeah. That, and I asked about that
yeah.
the last meeting. Do you have any information on that?
Mm-hmm.
That's I think some of that's planned. Okay. Well, here.
It went into the convenience store.
Because I live right there, and I agree. Like, what's going on over there?
So the owner of the strip mall is also the owner of Puffs. He recently purchased that strip mall just last year, I think in 2025. And he has come in. He's going to be going before the zoning board, likely in the next couple of months, to talk about basically the Puffs is in suite 5 of 9 in that building. And he wants to pick up that convenience store and move it to suite 1, 2, and 3 based on the plans he's given us now. So he would expand the convenience store. And then also like make it more of a convenience store than a tobacco store. So hopefully change the character of it. As well as a number of other improvements to the site. So there's a special use that's required for a convenience store in that district. So there's some zoning requirements that we have to go through. So that's why it's a little bit of a work in progress than just moving forward. So
just our impression was that the retail space on the south side of Madison was far more successful. And mm-hmm. I have to wonder why, as one of the commissioners.
Well, I'm not sure that, I mean, there's that whole place right across the street from the planned development that's had a really tough time filling those spaces on the south side.
Doesn't make me feel better.
No, it shouldn't. Yeah.
72. 69. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good point. Cause you know, it's tough to park there. It's tough to get, you know, get in and out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
So they have that across the street too.
I'm just saying more people you get in that area.
Yeah, some density will help.
Well, I would like to welcome any members of this committee or individuals associated with the developer to get to know some of the local businesses at Chamber of Commerce events. That would be a direct line to understanding the needs of our small local realtors. I recall that the developer said they were not looking for food service or restaurant type businesses. So since there is some time before a tenant would be able to move in, I think it is a good idea to get some actual data and input from the types of businesses that we as a village would want to see in that space.
Yeah, absolutely. And the what's the plan for the other units for the strip mall? Does he have one?
He's got some things in the works. He has some ideas, but he's not at that point, not at this point to discuss yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He says that he has been approached by a number of people who are looking to move in there. And so he is trying to expedite moving the convenience store so that he can free up the spaces and potentially combine some of the units. Cause I think some of them are smaller spaces. So maybe take it from 9 to 6 or 7 or so.
What it does seem like, I mean, we don't have a ton of retail space like that where we have an active we have retail space, sometimes people aren't terribly active with it, or it's been in the family for a long time and it's kind of just, you know, this and that. Because I think he bought that from a River Forest resident, right? Mm-hmm. Who's got a portfolio of real estate around here. Mm-hmm. So it's good that that happened, that mm-hmm. we have some liveliness. I wonder if there's, you know, it sounds like people are doing it, but it maybe it would be good to talk with them and see whatever we can do. I mean, it'd be nice to be able to use, I mean, look, the amount of retail space, quite frankly, that this new development is going to have is not much. A few thousand square feet. I don't remember it being much.
3,200.
There, that's yeah. So the amount of square footage of this strip mall, quite frankly, is what it is. I mean, 9 units. I just wonder, we have ideas on how we can engage with them. I mean, I have some, but, you know, or what the village is doing. I mean, he obviously has he knows about our grant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
He's probably working with a real estate agent. It sounds like he's just fielding offers at this point. Does he need someone in that capacity?
I didn't explore that with him at this point. We've been more focused on the convenience store, but I can certainly reach out.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we should do what we can to help this individual actively, you know, look, I mean, fill it with people and businesses that, like you were saying, that we'd probably appreciate over there, that maybe the community has feel some need for. If he's just taking people as they come in, maybe he is, maybe they're not, you know, he might not get the target businesses that we'd be looking for. You know, if we talked with him and we talked with a real estate agent and kind of had a plan around it, seems like we could steer it in a way that, and we should have the chamber involved. And I mean, whatever. I mean, I think that we don't have a lot of retail space. Yeah. It's like 9 units that we could possibly fill, or 6, less the owner occupied portion. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I mean, I'm happy to talk with them. I don't know. I feel like I'm getting a blank stare over here. I don't know.
Maybe the Chamber of Commerce should join you for that.
Yeah.
Discussion.
I mean, you want to maybe grab a coffee with them or something like that? Or I don't know. I can first, or. I.
Mm-hmm. I will. I can make that connection for you. Absolutely. Right. I want to say he bought it in 25, early 25.
I agree. It's limited retail space.
Yeah. I mean, on top of that, the person that sold that property has other properties in this area. I mean, I'm sure we could reach out to him, but I feel like we should almost have a plan around those other properties.
Jessica, you said 1 through 3. So if you're looking at the building from Madison, is it the units on the right then?
The eastern side.
Yes. Okay, good. Because those are the ones that are vacant right now. Because there is like a successful spa and accounting firm and stuff like that on the left.
Okay.
But it might not even be completely vacant.
It's not completely vacant.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wasn't sure if it sounded like he was retrofitting the whole spot and getting rid of people and then bringing people in, but maybe that's not the case that there's.
It didn't seem to like that was his plan. It just seemed like there, you know, he is working with fluctuations, and I don't recall exactly which suites are occupied besides his, which I know is 5.
I got some strip malls. You're constantly
churning.
That's half the job is.
Some successful ones in there since we've moved.
Yeah, I know the spa he said has been in there for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I hope that they're not planning to move. I think he also hopes that too.
I've got a newbie question.
Mm-hmm.
If he were hypothetically to say, well, what businesses would River Forest want there?
So we have a land use chart that's published on the village website that goes through what is allowed by right, that you could, a tenant could rent a space from a property owner and just, I'm going to open a stationery store and I sell paper goods. I'm not making the paper. I'm not printing here. I'm just a retail store. And a retail store, if it's allowed there, could just be done by a lease and then a business license, and then they'd be set.
So you're talking about like legally, what can you do? Mm-hmm. She's talking, answering your question, like permit wise, but you're saying,
too,
like,
but
like,
but so I couldn't tell you exactly what's allowed there. I know a convenience store is a special use, which means that he cannot just open his convenience store. He had to get special permission from the zoning board to allow that. There's also some businesses that are prohibited where you can ask and the board staff would say, no, it's not allowed. So there are a certain listing of things. It's probably 10 pages of things.
And if he took those 10 pages of things that were permitted mm-hmm. and said, of these things, what would we want? Would we then go to the community and say, what kind of stores do you want? Would we ask the village? Would we ask? Or just it, let it be and the higher bidder gets those.
I mean, some of it, I mean, it's a free market, right? So, I mean, he can lease as long as it's a permitted use. He could lease to whomever he wants to. I think the question, I mean, might be different for, you might get eight different answers in this room alone, you know, who, if you asked, you know, what we'd want there. But whoever, I mean, I think hospitality, people are always looking for hospitality. The pushback is always density. So maybe with the additional density over there, there's enough to be able to support. But that's the first thing. It's, you talk to any restaurateur, why not River Forest? They'll say density right off the bat. And just not having a corridor where there's choices. Oh, this Jimmy's is closed. I'll go across the street to the Cantina, you know, or something like that. So, you know, outside of that, you know, we used to have a guy that sat right there, answer these questions really well too. But outside of that, I mean,
I realize that legally, whoever he finds, he puts in there, assuming it's allowed. Just wondering if there's any guidance we can provide.
So that's actually a really good segue to something else I wanted to talk about tonight. So I think that when we get back to the heart of the mission of the Economic Development Commission, that is the question. What do we want to see where? You all are all residents of the village. And so what do you want to see if you can't, if thinking as a commissioner might be too much pressure, then let's think as residents, what do we want to see? And so I think that providing that kind of feedback, even though you're absolutely correct, you could ask a room of 100 people and have 100 different answers. What do we want in that strip mall? But I think that it is something that is within the purview of this commission to say, in that strip mall, we'd love to see a stationery store. And we'd love to see, he's got a nail salon. So let's say we go with a massage place or something else that fits, that complements that business. Or maybe a smoothie shop would be great there or something, you know.
But, I'm sorry, I have a question. Why would that be, why do we care? I mean, as an EDC, I feel like we wanted to not have a vacant sign there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully it'll do well so we can all have our opinions on what will do well or not. But I don't know if we need our opinions on what kind of stores we want there. You know what I mean? Like, with respect to what you're asking, because I think it's a good question and it's a good conversation. Like, yeah, it'd be cool to have this there. It'd be cool to have that there. The best thing to have there would be someone. You know what I mean? Because, yeah. Like, at the end of the day,
it's tough to legislate that kind of,
and that's the other
but
thing.
But it's certainly, like, yeah, the comp plan, again, if you go back, we're all, EDC is about driving economic development. That's commercial, that's retail, that's whatever, you know. So I think we have a preference on corridors like that. I think the comp plan, the comprehensive plan states things, active uses, you know, mm-hmm. what we press as developer down the street on. Like, we want active uses, which are typically more retail, restaurant, convenient, you know, things like that versus a medical office. No offense to medical office. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but like, you know, and I think that's ultimately it's whoever they get leased to. And this isn't a great market. It's still not a great market.
Not for medical offices.
No. That's, yeah. But so, you know, but yeah, I think the guidance is somewhat in the comp plan in pushing more parameters. We want active uses. Now that's subjective and open to interpretation, but over something more office-based, you know? I mean, I think that's just particularly in those areas. But does office work? Maybe, you know? Again, an insurance salesman or something? Why not? It's contributing to the tax base and, you know, which is ultimately our goal.
Yeah.
It's just tough to kind of...
Maybe dictate. Physical therapists would be...
Yeah, but I think the comp plan talks about a very limited section on use and, you know, active uses. So
active uses, that's mm-hmm. the key. I mean, right? I mean, makes sense.
Yeah, when I was on the Comprehensive Plan Commission, it was bigger picture. We want more walking spaces and parks and places for residents to be able to gather and things like that. And this commission seems to be more of a, okay, well, we hear you, and we have an opportunity not to coerce, not to legislate, certainly, but to say, it would be nice.
Here's our preference.
We have a view of what we think the village looks like and the people and the organization. And
in prior, our request for proposals, developer request for proposals that went out, some successful, some not. And even JLL's efforts, I know the RP specified, we'd like to see retail at the ground floor.
Yes.
I mean, that's, and it could be anything. We preference towards restaurants. Those are high costs and, you know, they're tough to do, but that's always in there. Now, whether, you know, the market will dictate a lot of that.
Sure.
But I think you're right. I mean, that the EDC, you know, when we were doing some of the RFPs, we put that in there. That's what we want, particularly on those corridors, Madison and North. Mm-hmm. And a little bit to, you know, Lake.
Okay.
So, I think it's still good to continue to reinforce that. And when they came in here, we said, how much retail do you have? Can you put more in? Mm-hmm. We want more. They have parking and they're trying to fit different things. And, you know, it's what, 20? Yeah, like you said, it's less than 3,000. It's not great, but hopefully it's retail.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
the office. Yeah.
In such a community-driven area where they're hoping for foot traffic, any retailer that would open in that space would want to know that they had a clientele that was favorable to whatever they were offering. Is a pawn shop an active use? Okay, well, I don't know.
I'd have to check. I want to say it's
so good, but you know, that's just an example, but
the point remains, like, that would technically be an active use, whether it's prohibited or not. I'd have to research, but is that really what the village would have in mind there?
I doubt the pawn shops can go there.
There are a number
sure.
of things like that you could pull up that are active that maybe not active, but not contextual.
Thank you.
Regardless, you know, the point that any retailer wants to be successful, any property owner wants their tenants to be successful. They want to know that the community, especially in what we're hoping to grow as a walkable corridor, mm-hmm. Will attract the kinds of clients, customers, neighbors that would help contribute to that success.
Yeah.
So while I understand, you know, this commission or the village can't dictate, no, it has to be a massage spa, it has to be a smoothie shop, mm-hmm. you know, pointing out along the corridor what businesses are already established and successful, what are the opportunities, what in terms of, you know, community conversations has come up, like, boy, we really miss this place, or we would love a place like that, or even, you know, from other communities. There was a place in Forest Park that closed 2 years ago and people still talk about it. So if there are ways to kind of softly guide these conversations, again, knowing that we can't promise and that public opinion isn't necessarily going to dictate the outcome, I don't see any problem. Yeah, with
mm-hmm. no problem at all. I think that's what you can do, right? You can introduce, you can nudge, you can mm-hmm. explain. You know, they should bring an Annie's back there.
There you go.
People will be happy with Annie's back there.
Prices probably went up.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. I still win.
I know you.
Three ice cone.
So the other thing I was going to bring to this group, which is in this very same line, is I did have an opportunity to call the administrator of Keystone Montessori School. And I confirmed that they are not taking enrollment. They were not taking enrollment for August. They are winding down their operations. And so they will be looking to sell the business or the building. So I think that is a really good opportunity for this commission to talk about what do we want to see there.
Especially since I live across the street.
I'm close as well.
Right in your backyard.
Why are they closing?
I don't know exactly. It sounded like lower enrollment, but
it's not unheard of that communities often, like, we respond to the economic development teams all across the country that request restaurants, hotels, like mm-hmm. to your point, I think that this is something
we could invite them in
100%, right? And but also we as folks that live in the community talk to friends of ours in the community, I don't think it's a bad thing to try to come up with. I mean, plenty of times the economic development team in cities all over the country put together, this is our plan. This is mm-hmm. what we would like to see execute.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be great to do something like that. And yeah. the other thing is, like, what I've learned is you have TIF, not TIF money. I know that.
Yes, we do.
Like, aggregate as much of that as possible and put it in. To...
Now, that's a good point, because that's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, there's only so much you can do with the fact that, hey, look, we'd like to have this business there. But at the end of the day, if so-and-so is paying you more, there's not a lot you can do, and it's permitted use. But if we were able to use a TIF.
But here's the other thing, too, that we can't forget. The economic development team is supposed to drive revenue to your city, right? And so the question is, like, what is that highest and best use?
Exactly.
The most amount of revenue to your city. Right. So I think that's part of the whole plan.
It is. But again, you know, as well as anyone,
high sales tax, right? Like, you know,
I mean, you know, there's only so many levers you can pull from the village. You know, we don't have quite the power that
100%.
But I think, right. I think the TIF is one of the things we do have
mm-hmm.
That we can use and say, look, you know, we're able to help out if you put this sort of tenant in there.
That could be a really unique opportunity.
And we do have, well, that property. So for those that are new, which is Lord, it's everyone but you and me. For those that are new to the committee, about 3 years back, we had a firm, Housel and Levine. John Housel is a local guy, knows the area very well. Provide us a summary of four, maybe five different sites for development. That we don't know about already that would hopefully be within our corridor space. They did. We should maybe pull that back up. We could probably get John to send that to us. It was pretty informative.
It's on the website. I could send you the link for it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's pretty cool. And they have some really cool gadgets that I won't even get into right now, but they have a nice software system that they designed that helps you identify different properties and can very quickly throw up renderings of what a building would look like there. So they did this for four different developments. One of them was the Ashland and Madison property. One of them was Montessori, because the things have been winding down there for a long time. It's looked pretty bare for a while, and there's pretty nice setback there if you wanted to as well. I mean, it's a pretty deep property. We don't have a ton of deep properties on North or any of our commercial corridors like they have there. So there's a lot you could do there. And, you know, with everything that's happening on the other side of the street, there's a lot going on there. It seemed like a really good spot. So this is actually really good news to hear this. That kind of leads me into one of the other things I was thinking of, but also, you know, it doesn't have to be them. I mean, do we know who they're talking to in terms of?
I don't believe they're talking to anyone yet. When I spoke to her, it was right after the 4th of July, and they only had staff there a few days a week because they were, she said they had like 20, 25 years worth of packing to do. So it sounded like they were going to have people working there for a little bit, and then they would talk to lawyers about listing. So I've asked her to, you know, keep me in mind. If they have someone that they're looking, that they're favoring for a sale, to please let us know.
Well, we should maybe let JLL know and other people know so that they can start talking with them. I mean, there's no reason mm-hmm. why we should. I mean, it would make sense to have them start talking to people sooner rather than later. It doesn't have to be JLL. It's just that they understand, you know, it would be easy to bring them up to speed there.
That's correct. Because they're a school. But if that use changed, then, well.
They did and then they didn't.
Yeah, correct. 3 or 4 years.
3 or 4.
And then, well, that was when the lawsuit was settled.
Right.
So probably before
there was a lawsuit on it. There was agreement they would pay to allow the use there. Because it was.
Yeah.
The village wanted property tax off it, and they were allowed to move in subject to paying property tax. And then that was overthrown years later. I don't know how many years they were there, but.
Yeah. So.
So we would be. To go to your previous point, obviously we would be interested in the highest, best use, that project property being sold to someone who's a taxpayer. So that would be probably one of our first.
How close is it to the breakfast restaurant right there?
Yoke? Yeah. Well, formerly Yoke.
Formerly, yeah.
Exactly. I want to say
blocks,
it's
2-3 blocks.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It wasn't right.
Yeah. Yoke is on Bonnie Bray or Clinton, and this is on William.
William, yeah,
mm-hmm. Right. Two blocks.
But there's a lot of things if you kind of go down. I mean, but this could really be a centerpiece.
Yeah, and yes. On the other side, west is Fresh Thyme,
right,
mm-hmm.
right there in
Monroe.
Another block over.
Mm-hmm.
There's synergy there, and there's yeah. synergy across the street. Somewhat,
a lot of energy across.
Yeah, the street. I mean, there's a lot. That's why you know. If we were to focus, we talked about the North Avenue TIF and how do we
Johnny's
jump
right there.
Things. I think we take a focus Jim, view of that.
That's why we need a
in the lead. This is really that's really good news in my mind. To be honest with you, this is the best news.
Kyler's energized, but not that you're not. I mean, you always are. Yeah.
This is why we need a pedestrian bridge over North Avenue. Second, anyone?
Second. Yeah. Third. Wow. No. Look at him taking the
well, there were improvements planned. We were talking about, yeah. you know, of course, it's IDOT, right? So that's difficult. But can we do, you know, bump out curbs and things to lessen the pedestrian crossing? Can right. we do that strategically?
It's Frogger every time.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I've been asking about boulevarding it as they did.
They did it down there. Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine the businesses would have an issue with that. And that would cut out some of the parking on North Avenue for those.
Well, the U-turn people that, yeah.
But it is treacherous. I'm surprised I don't hear more accidents.
It is crazy. That's really dangerous. But any updates on the public realm improvement streetscape stuff they're talking about?
I don't believe so. I think I seem to recall that there was a meeting recently, or there is a meeting coming up in a couple of weeks where we're hoping to get a little bit more information, but it's the state project. So we're kind of at their whim.
Well, this is one where a corridor is two sides. I always say this, you know, Elmwood and River Forest should be together on it and trying to get in there and help drive some of the, you know, the traffic calming measures and safety yep. measures. And
we are.
That'll help retail for sure. I mean, it will. I mean, it
yeah.
makes those things that much more valuable or viable, I should say.
I also spoke to the real estate agent who's representing the family who owns the building that Yoke was in. Mm. And they've got a couple lines in the water, in the lines in the water. Is that the thing? They, you know, so they asked me like what would be allowed. And so I referred them to the land use chart. So hopefully that will turn into something soon. But
maybe Grandma Sally's will come back.
That was my first question, and they said no.
It's the same family.
It is the same family. Yeah.
I don't know if they get it, but they're not out of the business. They got a lot of yokes. No pun in downtown.
I'm sure.
It's hard to support that right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just is. I mean, it seems crazy because you have everything
we did.
On the other side doing well, but the parking, as crazy as the parking is, they have that whole other lane of parking. And it's filled up on a Friday, Saturday night. Yeah. I mean, it's.
Yeah, and they can park on the side streets there on Bonnie Bray. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, this actually would really help a lot of that, I would think, because you could request parking there. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not just moving along, but I guess we'll circle back to this next meeting as well. But if there's anyone that has thoughts in the meantime, you know, share them with Jessica, or if something pops up, you know, and you're just thinking about something doing the lawn and you're like, oh, stuff like that. You know, I think we should have some idea what we want to put there too. I mean,
yes.
So would it be difficult to change the zoning? I don't know how this whole thing works, but if it's a school right now,
mm-hmm.
so if it turned into something retail, would that be difficult to change?
No. Is it zoned that, or is that a special use? That's a good question. I thought it was commercial, but it was special use for yeah. the monitor. For
I guess we have a commission that can change that.
Yeah, I think what would likely go there would be some sort of mixed use,
yeah.
right? I think they can go 50 feet or something like that over there. So there'd probably be some, I mean, they're
72
they'd have
units.
To figure that out. it would be interesting. That's a big enough spot where you could also be a little creative as well. And that's what would be neat. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be easy. I mean, to throw another mixed use there and perhaps that's the best use. And everyone figures out that is, but don't know. Wait. We'll see.
I know the village isn't
going to dictate that.
The village isn't in the real estate business. Is there an option? Is the village interested in purchase? Or do you want the market to?
I think the preference would be to not purchase it. Mm-hmm. But I think that...
And rely on a comp plan and other things and zoning to hopefully dictate a good mm-hmm. plan. Yeah.
I mean, just based on what happened with the Madison...
Oh, project, I know.
There was a... Well, notwithstanding, there was obviously attempts to allow the market to do what it
right.
needed to do
you
for
were,
a long time. So I would imagine...
backstop to that.
Well, correct.
Hopefully, I think, well, again, hopefully the market's there.
So if
the market dictates that they're going to, I mean, it will definitely be a mixed use, which is probably, I mean, that's where people can make the most money right now. So whoever.
I think that's what the comp plan calls for, too.
Yeah.
So this is in the C1 district. So it's just the commercial district. So there's always an interest, especially on North Avenue, Madison, and Lake Street to be retail focused. So obviously the school was not the ideal choice there, but whomever would be interested, that would be the way that we would express our preferences. We'd like something that is going to lead to some better activation in that area.
What about the park district? Because they're always looking for a gym.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would that, is that crazy?
I mean, it'd be up to them, but that's not taxable. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So. I mean, it's not. I do understand there's a gym on the back of it.
Never mind. I didn't say anything.
So we put the River Forest pool.
Right.
Right. Oh, God. Because there's no parking issues over there, right?
We tried to cul-de-sac William because of the Montessori school years ago. Didn't go.
Yeah.
Just because of the traffic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. What is really interesting, and it's, I think it's good news.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can start off the chamber update, if we're ready to move on to that.
Any other questions on development? Well,
yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, I think this building is almost like this. Something actionable, setting.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, no, I agree.
We had an expression of interest that was developed for Madison. Is that kind of what you're talking about? Yeah, okay. Would you perhaps be able to give us a couple of examples? That would be helpful.
It dovetails into the whole TIF discussion that Jessica and I have been having sporadically. And it's something, Kyler, you mentioned a while ago, like how do we take this TIF district and utilize the tools? But I think that's part of it, is having what I call a more of a master development plan vision, not prescriptive plan, but having some kind of vision for those types of parcels. And I think it's from redevelopment parcels to reuse parcels to, I mean, it's kind of all of that, how the TIF could help that, and how we, in a way, by offering money, can also guide some of that. I think it's...
Yeah, in your case. There's limitations, but I also think if someone says they can't be partners, we're great. Don't try to go out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then it's clearly stated, and we don't need to waste anybody's time with having you get down that.
Yeah, I just think
Yeah, I'm 1,000,000% agree. I was curious. I mean, to me, that's fine for us to do that. And I think that's something we should do. I think that's what we did on Madison and Ashland, as you were saying. Also, get the agents involved. You know, I mean, because they're going to be the ones who are going to have to drive a lot of this. You know, I mean, they talk offline a little bit about too, like, but, you know, the idea, I think something like that is something the village can do. But I think past that, we need professionals that would be.
So, like, so they put out, here's how we can set it up.
Yeah.
It is for a printer, a lot of the office, and they pivoted, said, let's do data centers. They've got enough data centers. Said, hey, let's use these data centers as a means to try retail. Construction work with everybody, and retail problem. It was the economic development group that came up with the idea to reach out to guys itself, to your point. Once we have that plan, then you reach out and say, oh, yeah, I got a guy who's a jerk, and a specialist that lives on the street that would love to open a shop. Right?
Yep.
Yep. I'm just using that as an example.
Right? Yeah.
Quantra, they have a much bigger
facility.
That's where I think a lot of action.
Yeah, I mean, it would be good. I mean, it's one thing to have the agents out there talking. It's another thing to have a full understanding and backing of the community and people that would be talking to others. Disseminating, I'm not trying to be like roadblocking you at all. Like, I'm just like, yeah, that all sounds awesome. But
somebody puts a for sale sign in front of the building, goes up for sale, the highest bidder buys it. What the heck? First action.
Mm-hmm.
And you may never execute on the plan. That will have decided.
That's it, though.
For our usage. But this is a way for us.
No, I mean, it's the right thing to do. Yeah.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah.
This is. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jordan.
I was just going to say, like, as a recommended action step, if you can send examples and Jessica share, like, what this would look like. And then perhaps everyone's homework for, I don't know, by the end of the year or whatever timeline you want to set. Like, we'll all take a look at the list of recommended uses and see what jumps out. Because
yeah.
There's some time. We don't have to, like, we are not actually deciding anything. Yeah. It's, you know, this is years away.
Mm-hmm.
No, I agree. I think that's what we have right now is a comprehensive plan and zoning, and that's the thing that kind of guides, and then whatever the market wants. Kind of, what I've done in many cities is you do a master development plan, you do a corridor development plan. And now I know there's a corridor study, but it wasn't quite, and it's to your point, the comp plan is somewhere way up here. You know, if we're really looking at it from an economic development perspective, you do a master development plan. And it looks at all those things. And I think you look at all the properties. What are the key assets? What are the ones that have the highest probability of success or in the right area or building out the strengths and the assets of the area? And, you know, it's a task, but it can be done. Or it could be very, you know, at least an outline of it to say, these are our priorities. And in these areas, we'd like to see these things. But I agree. I mean, I think the comp plan doesn't quite go far enough to really voice what I think we want on the economic development side and also the community side. So,
and we started doing that again, that exact same thing on North Avenue. We had it all mapped out and we had some ideas there. Yeah. Montessori was part of it.
Yeah.
So we could dust that off. It's not that old. Yeah. Yeah. Is it possible to maybe see if Hassel and Levine is able to share some of the information that, I don't even know that deck, I guess, for lack of a better word, with North Avenue. Do you know, was that before your time or? No.
It was, but I think I know what you're talking about. Well, the corridor plan, like I said, that's online.
Okay.
He did the whole zoning piece.
Yeah.
Was it one of these meetings, right?
He did a couple of meetings in the beginning. We met at his office as well.
Yeah.
He just started showing it was some of his proprietary software that he was using too. So
right. Yeah. That's,
yeah. It was a sales pitch too. But
yeah. It's probably whatever software was like state of the art 5 years ago is probably like my kids.
It basically translated zoning three dimensionally.
Yeah.
In different iterations of what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean that is I don't want to make it such a big task that we end up it makes too big to swallow. But that, I mean that North Avenue, that it would be good to have some idea with some of the other available pieces there. And we started doing that before and kind of got derailed with the whole zoning issue. So but not to get too off track here. This is good discussion. You'll share something with Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be great. Yeah. It's the right thing to do. It's good news. All right.
So the chamber update, you, Chairman, you had asked about the future business networking events.
Yeah, the quarterly business networking events.
Yes. So Director Mallinson and I have been working on a couple dates that we wanted to present to you all here tonight because we want to make sure that you all can come. So first look at these dates, pull out your calendars because I want to make sure we can get everybody there. So we're talking about Thursday, September 24th. It would be an evening networking event. I think usually five to seven. Venue is TBD. I have to get a date first. And then the other,
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. You think you can get better, bigger, more crowd? Love it. Five to seven.
Option one.
September 24th. Yes. Option one. Option two is Thursday, October 1st, but we would do it in the morning. So we would do like a eight to 10 kind of a thing. Just kind of feeling you out.
I mean, personally,
I would say 8:30 to 10.
There you go.
After school drop off.
Yeah, school drop off. True.
What you said, October 1st?
October 1st. So it would be one or the other. We wouldn't necessarily jump out the gate with two.
I can do both. I prefer the morning if we had an 8:30 start.
Okay.
I think you get more people on the evening businesses. At the evening, people, a lot of business owners are going, prepping for their work.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you would probably know better than I. I mean, where do we have a better chance at getting the larger group?
Really, it could go either way. The chamber hosts a number of morning, you know, breakfast events. At our last new member breakfast, I think we had 55 people registered. So again, the focus of this will be on River Forest business owners. Typically, if someone is an office type worker, people, you know, they'll just go in a little bit late that day. Retail and service-based businesses tend to be more busy in the afternoons and evenings. So sometimes they're available more in the mornings. I think there are pros and cons to either, but we would need to decide now because it does take some time to network and market the event and make sure that everyone is invited. Again, this will be a free event for all attendees with special direct invitations to River Forest businesses, not only licensed brick and mortar, but also home-based businesses and other representatives from some of the larger institutions in the village, and any really, you know, through the chamber channels, anyone who is interested is welcome. So there are members and business owners from other communities that do a lot of work in River Forest. So all are welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enough time to forgive my ignorance on this, but that would be enough time to find a place and then send out invitations to follow up and get all that. Nice. I mean, my vote would be the evening, but it doesn't matter to me. whatever. I think it's up to the chamber to a degree.
Those are my two dates, and we are offering them to you so that everyone will commit.
Yes.
Evening.
I am too.
I'm working on the first. So
24th then? Okay.
Make sure the Bears don't have a Thursday night game.
All right.
Good point. They don't. I know. Later in the season.
Well, and so the point of this is that it's a quarterly networking event. We're trying to commit to doing these more often. Yeah. So even though you might not be available at this time, and we, you know, depending on what day it works, we'd love for you to come to the next one. And so my goal is to work with the chamber and get these sketched out farther in advance. And then hopefully all of us here can kind of work our schedules around that. And pick some dates that work a little bit better. So that is all.
That's awesome. That's the 24th.
Yeah, 24th.
The 24th of September from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Very good.
Great. Yeah, that's great. Where do you think you'll have it if you had to guess?
I'm going to ask Good Earth.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
Yeah, they have a nice space, a parking lot, parking on the street. They're currently a member who I'm hoping will renew their membership.
No, that's great.
And bringing people to their business is a great idea for everyone.
Makes sense.
Thank you, everybody.
Any other chamber? I mean, that's great. I mean, that'll be, you mentioned who you'll have there. Anything for us to be doing outside of showing up and shaking hands or anything? I mean, just that?
Typically, there's a time for people to gather and network, eat, whatever. Whatever is available. Typically midway through a networking event like this, we would have a brief program where we would, thank our host and introduce the key stakeholders. We'd introduce each member of the Economic Development Committee who was there, any representatives from the village. If there happens to be an event sponsor or someone, then we kind of offer a sort of a mini open mic if any, local business wants to share some news or some update. They have a special coming up, they have an event, more information, follow up. So there will be a kind of a soft structure to it so that there will be meaning in coming and information to be shared.
Mm-hmm. Nice. That's great. Yeah. Is it a ton of strain to do those quarterly? I mean, no, easy peasy. All right. I think stuff like that's great. We can see what kind of traction, and then we can maybe mornings are better for a whole other group of people. So we do that, so whatever. That's great.
It could alternate if there are, four a year, two our evenings, two our mornings.
Yeah.
Alternate.
Awesome.
Great.
Number six, other business.
Melissa, did you have any other chamber update you wanted to provide, or not to put you on the spot?
No, our Chamber of Commerce activities are humming. For those who don't know, we have around 500 business members in the chamber. I will mention that the chamber's Spotlight Awards is on Tuesday, October 13. That is our annual celebration and award ceremony for local businesses that are nominated by community members. The finalists should be announced this week, and we do have a category for new and notable business, and there may be a local new tea shop on that list. So this is an event that, it's ticketed and open to the public. So coming to cheer for the representatives of River Forest businesses would be very meaningful. And I hope to see you there.
Any other business? Awesome. Well, I'll just say thank you for all the discussion. You know, it's good. I like the fact that we have some new people here and coming up with some ideas and asking questions. And, you know, I'd say please feel free to ask those questions and to push back and voice opinions. And I mean, just we need debate. We need conversation. Otherwise, people just assume that's the way it's done. And that is not always the way it should be done, obviously. So it's appreciated. And everything you need to know about foreclosure law right here is pretty impressive. Yeah, no, you missed the beginning. It was,
I was listening.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, for us, you do.
Yeah. Yeah. We got one more.
SME.
You're far more useful than I am.
So. Oh.
Perfect. Well, in that case, a movement to adjourn. Go ahead.
Moved to adjourn.
All in favor? All right.
Bye.